Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We are underway on a Saturday. It is Tag Talk. Doug Swindahart aboard for the entire hour. And if you want to join us, you can be a part of the show on the StylesFinancial.com talk and text line. The number is 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. And a reminder, texts come right into the studio. And if you call, you'll visit with Josh Wheeler, our producer, and he'll put you through to the program. Doug, good to visit with you. I hope you're doing well. All right, I'll take you off mute. That should help, Doug. Welcome aboard. I hope you're doing well.
Oh, I am really well, and thank you for asking.
Yeah, and Doug, let's get started. Someone I work with during the week, they're getting rid of an old computer. It was way past its prime. It was a laptop. The monitor was in bad shape. It got dropped, et cetera. It was just time to move on. Mm-hmm. But we got into a conversation. Is like, well, how do I get rid of, how do I recycle this thing? And a lot of people said, well, the first thing you want to do is pull out that hard drive and disable that hard drive, you know, and make sure that whatever data, you know, in some way, shape, or form, destroy that. Doug, what do you recommend if someone has made the decision to get rid of a computer? What should they do?
Well, you know, I've kind of changed my thinking on this a little bit. There's so many people who the computers, they're done. I don't say that lightly. I like to keep them until they're on their last leg. But in regards to data, I tell people just take the hard drive out and get an external case or just have some device that you can connect it up to if you ever need to look at the data and keep the hard drive. They're small. They ain't going to take up much space. It's much more secure than sending it out and trying to format it. And if you don't have the time, well, and you know, inevitably, someday somebody's going to say, oh, I wish I had that file. It's bound to happen. Well, this way you can go back and plug it into a Linux computer or whatever, grab your data and rock and roll.
So pull the hard drive out, hang on to it, mm-hmm. might not be a bad idea at all. And those external cases, those are pretty cheap.
Oh, and for laptops, $9, $10. You don't need anything real fancy. Just only time you're going to plug it in is if you're searching for a specific file. So, yeah, I would absolutely go that route. And like I say, they're not expensive. Amazon's got them. Deliver them right to your door. Micro Center's got them. They're going to pick it up immediately. And I think Target and Walmart are carrying them now even. So they're available. No question about it.
All right. So maybe you hang on to that hard drive. If you don't want it, if you have all your data off, maybe you've reformatted it. What is the most effective way to make sure that that spinning hard drive is destroyed and no one could ever get at it? I've heard you drill a hole through it, smash it with a hammer, etc. I mean, they are drillable, but they're pretty tough.
Yeah, you might as well plan on spending some time at that. It's better off to get a military-grade eraser. And what that does is it will go over the hard drive 3 to 5 to how many ever times you want, rewriting pluses and minuses or zeros and ones. And that, when you overwrite it, that your data is going to be gone for absolute certain. There are programs out there where if you delete all the data and even format it, they can still pick up parts and pieces and minute little particles of data. So if you really want to do it right, you're going to just, and they're everywhere. And you can download them for free. I think they've even got a couple of online ones now to where you don't even have to download it. Just format it right online. And that's what you're looking for, is a government standard or a military standard data wipe. And they're everywhere.
All right.
That way you can send it with the computer if you want to.
So if it's time to get rid of that computer, Doug's top recommendation is pull that hard drive out, hang on to it, get a case for it. You never know. That is great advice indeed. By the way, if you want to join the program, stylesfinancial.com talk and text line, 651-461-9226 is the phone number on the program today. And we're on the air each and every Saturday between 3 and 4 o'clock. Friendly reminder, all the shows available in podcast form at our website, WCCORadio.com. So if you missed a show or want to go back or going for a walk or a road trip, bring Tech Talk along and download those podcasts. All right, let's get into it and go to the text line first. Last week's show, you talked about blocking unwanted emails, but you can also discuss unwanted USPS mail. My mailbox keep getting jammed with unwanted mail. Sometimes I call or write to the sender and ask them to stop, but it doesn't always work. One company in particular I had to write and call many times over the past 3 years, but they still persist. There are ways to block email. As far as mail that comes into your mailbox, a little bit more difficult, but you can contact any reputable mailer, and I've been in the printing and mailing business for my full-time job for a long, long time. Any company worth their salt, if you contact them and say, I don't want any more mail, please stop contacting me, they will do that. Now, they're like any business, there are bad actors out there, and your name is floating around on lists, and we talked about the longer you've had an email, the more likely it is going to be everywhere, and people are going to be sending you spam, etc. Same thing is true with the regular U.S. mail, that if you've been around a while and you've lived in the same house for a while, you're going to get mail. I just don't know what to tell you. But if you're getting it from one company in particular and you contact them, they will take you off the list.
I did that a few years ago, and that took care of most of it. I still get some, but not near what I used to. Just work at it. You'll find the answer.
Yeah, and as far as getting back to emails, spam, etc., we should revisit this again while we have a moment since all of this came up. Mm-hmm. In my experience with Gmail, and I have Gmail here at CCO Radio, Gmail at my full-time job, I have a Gmail account at home, and I have a personal Yahoo account. Those are my main email accounts. With all of those, Gmail and Yahoo, I think their spam filters work great. They really do a good job. I'm generally pleased.
I have to agree. Over the years, they've made such forward strides that, if you, unless you're inviting them, which I doubt, I think that is very effective. Especially Google has really made the big thing. And once Google did it, they released the information to everybody else to have mail servers. So it was really a nice thing for them to do. And I think it's controllable. I really do.
Yeah, and the spam filters are effective. If you bought something, and this to me is the gateway. You buy something online from maybe a new company, and you get that product, and you're happy with it. Now you're on their list, and they want to sell you more. That is human nature. That's the way of the world. And then when you get tired of it or aren't interested or getting a little bit overwhelmed, I've had great experience by marking that as spam and kicking that over into the spam folder. I think it's worked wonders. And as I brought it up a week ago, and I know you did as well, this is something you got to stick with it. Over time, you're going to need to take a few minutes and go through your email and just say, hey, do I want to get this stuff anymore? If not, kick it over to spam and let them do the rest.
Yep. No doubt about it. This is, and if you have to get a local client for an email like Thunderbird, make a rule. Just make a rule. You can get rid of it and continue to put it into spam and mark it as spam and report it as spam. It's not going to be more than a couple of weeks, and the big guns are going to come out. People are tired of this foolishness, and providers are tired of it. It's taking an enormous amount of internet resources for really nothing more than to create annoyances. So I'm glad to see that it's starting to get under control. It will get better as we move forward, I think.
Yeah, and you just have to stick with it. But once again, I think the spam features, and I don't know what you found with your Proton account, but I would assume they do a good job as well.
Oh, it really does. I think that a lot of these spammers see Proton, and they don't even bother. They've been that good over the years. So, I can't say enough good things about my experience with Proton. And just everything about it is just, it's right on the money.
Quick break. We'll come back. More Tech Talk. By the way, if you want to visit with Doug, great way to do it, stylesfinancial.com. Talk and text line 651-461-9226. Text come right into the studio. And phone calls, you visit with Josh, and then he'll put you through. Simple as that. Tech Talk rolls along here on this first Saturday in November already here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. Tech Talk continues. Doug Swinhart aboard, and our number on the program, 651-461-9226. And it's not very often that we get a plug or someone recommending equipment, but I have heard very good things about it. And from our text line, if you're in the market for a new computer, you should think about the new Mac Mini that just came out. And we've talked about Mac Minis over the years. It is a Mac. You got your own keyboard, your own monitor, whatever. These are really good machines.
From reading through the specs, Stevie, I think they're going to be a tremendous boost for Apple. And they need this. And desktops are far from gone. And this Mini, this is going to be quite the machine.
Yeah, and they've been around for a long, long time. And you think, well, it's a Mac Mini. It's not a real computer. No. This is a real computer. And the fact is, if you already own a monitor, you're not paying for stuff you don't need as far as a laptop goes. And let's face the facts. I have a computer that I look at night. Maybe I'm watching TV. I'll check email or whatever. And I'm trying to avoid social media as much as I can. But nevertheless, it sits there. Now, it happens to be a Chromebook. But in reality, it could be a Mac Mini. And the only reason I have a Chromebook there is because the monitor is integrated and it's easy to move around and unplug and, you know, clean up after it. But Mac Minis, they are very nice machines, fully capable computers.
Oh, no question about it. And a lot of people who opted to go strictly portable, and they started to get a little bit older. Well, you know, I wish I had a bigger monitor. And feel, well, where can I get a decent monitor? Well, if you don't have one, You buy a Mac Mini, a little tiny thing, plug it into your TV. You're good to go. They're very versatile. They really are versatile. And your TV, if you've got a high-resolution TV, it's going to work just fine.
Yeah. And the price point is relatively affordable on these as well. So if you're in the market for a computer, you should take a look at that. And once again, desktops, as you pointed out, Doug, for a lot of people in a home office situation or whatever, you don't always need a laptop or a Chromebook. A desktop or something like a Mac Mini with the monitor alongside, great stuff.
Oh, no doubt. And, you know, a lot of companies have opted to do everything mobile, even Xfinity. Well, when I'm configuring my modem, for example, I would much rather be looking at a 32-inch screen and I can see the whole thing all on one screen rather than screwing around with my smartphone. It's just much, much more convenient. And I think people are starting to realize that desktops have their place. They're coming back. They really are. And with the innovation of the new Apple chip, I think these are going to be great computers. Now, you're going to be tied to Apple, but you could be tied to a lot worse place, I'll tell you. Is that I like Apple. I really do. And I think these Mac Minis are well worth taking a look at.
Yeah, and you don't need the latest and the greatest either. There are other versions out there. They're available for pre-order right now with the M4 chip. But, yep. You know, depending on what you're looking for, I mean, you can find these things for, you know, $350, an older generation Mac Mini. And once again, for the vast majority of users, plenty of computer.
Oh, no question. In fact, if you go to Apple now, they're actually selling the Mac Mini with a M4 chip, a 10-core CPU for $599. That's really a good price for that much computer. It's good price.
By the way, our phone number on the program is 651-461-9226. That's 651-461-9226. Here is another one from our text line. I have a Windows 11 laptop. When I select my Gmail icon, it gave me an error 400, which says it's an addressing error. What could be going on there?
I have no idea. That's bizarre. That is really strange. that's one to investigate. I better put that in my note. An error 400.
Maybe you'll have time to check it out during the break. They do go on to say that they're able to, of course, go to Google and access Gmail that way. They're just frustrated that Gmail icon on the desktop is not working. Is there a way to remove that and reinstall it? Because once again, you can, you know, go, you know, search for Google and get to your Gmail account that way as well. And that's what they're doing right now. But for whatever reason, that link on the desktop to Gmail is not working, and it's giving them an error.
You know, that shortcut might have actually just opened up a browser, and maybe the browser's gone. It's hard to tell with a shortcut, but this error 400, that's what's got me going. Yeah. I just don't know what it is, or it is strange. I've never seen it.
And we want to jump to a caller right now here on Tech Talk before we take a break. And let's bring in Lawrence. Lawrence, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, guys. Two quick things. One, Doug, I sent you an email about dropping off an old computer to extract my girlfriend's photos and stuff. So you can look for that.
I will look. You must have got lost in the masses. I'll find it.
Okay. I just want to get a date to transfer it. So here's my question. I do project management consulting. Sorry about the dog. And I'm principally a Mac person, and I'm going to have to invest in something that I can just run Microsoft Project or Smartsheets or something on a Windows platform. And again, I don't need it to. I don't need to spend a lot of money, so I'm just looking for a recommendation on what I can buy to run those. Basically, run Microsoft Project or something similar. So I'm going to hang up and listen. And always, thanks, guys.
All right, thanks, yeah. Lawrence, for the call. Doug, we're coming up on a break. Do you want to hold on to that thought?
Sure.
On what's affordable? What's recommended to do some of those things Lawrence is talking about?
Absolutely.
All right, quick break. We'll come back. We'll answer that. But first, we're going to break, do the weather, and then more Tech Talk. By the way, you can reach us on the stylesfinancial.com talk text line, 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226, here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. 55 and some sun here in the city. Southeast winds at 8 for this afternoon. High 57. We're going to need to hurry to get there. Tonight, cloudy. Rain develops overnight. And then Sunday, rain in 53. Rain continues Sunday night. A low of 51. Rising temps through the night. And then on Monday, More rain, 61. Rain tapers, or I should say the chance of rain is less Monday night and a low of 43. And then Tuesday, Election Day, a chance of rain, 51 degrees. Sun returns Wednesday with 54. Thursday, sunny, 51. And next Friday, sunny and 52. And we do need more rain. There's no doubt about it. Right now, 55 degrees. Don't forget, fall back tonight, 1 hour. Daylight saving time ends tonight. Once again, set those clocks back 1 hour when you go to bed tonight. Tech Talk continues in a moment. Doug Swinhart is here. Tech Talk on this Saturday here at News Talk, 830-WCCO. And you can join us on the StylesFinancial.com talk and text line at 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226. And Doug Lawrence asked about an affordable machine, something I believe wanted to use some Microsoft products, Excel, etc. What do you recommend?
Well, you know, he's obviously an Apple man, that's for absolutely certain. But on every Apple I've ever seen, you can do a dual boot with Boot Camp and or Parallels. And in fact, the new chip, the M4 chip, it sounds to me like you can do it natively without having to purchase Parallels. So he can have both operating systems on the same computer. It's really not that big a deal anymore. And like I said, you know, that little Mac Mini that I found online real quick for $600 is 16 gigs of RAM, SSD drive, and Ethernet. And if he's already got a monitor or if he wants to buy a separate monitor, I picked up a 32-inch refurb for $168 that retailed for almost $500. The buys are out there. They really are. And I think you're going to see that right up until just before Thanksgiving. But be aware, prices are increasing in the computer industry. This industry is really on fire. It's having all kinds of difficulty with keeping the numbers up. People aren't buying like they used to. Generally, that will mean prices will drop. But in this particular case, we're actually losing some manufacturers coming up, some big ones. So that's going to put some strain on the industry. It's probably not the best time to buy a computer, unless you're buying an Apple. They're full swing. But he has no problems at all buying a Mac, whether it's a laptop or a desktop, and rocking and rolling. Now, my advice would be, if he's not real familiar, he doesn't have a lot of time, when he purchases this, go out to the Apple store and purchase your equipment and ask them to help you get it set up. It'll be done when you walk out the store. They just do such a good job out there. That'd be my advice for Lawrence.
All right. Very good news. Back to has nothing to do with email or computers, but someone sent us a text that the United States Postal Service has an unsubscribe link, and you can go to their site and find out more and get advice on actually trying to reduce the volume of mail that you want, or marketing mail. But remember, that marketing mail and that mail that comes to your mailbox, that supports the Postal Service as well. So, you know, they don't want people to, you know, say, I don't want any of it, because that helps pay the bills at the USPS. Here is a good one. When I power up the printer, and also when I hit the button to print something, the lights in the room will dim for a second.
Oh, my.
That shouldn't happen. I think you need an electrician if that's happening.
Best advice you could give them, get that checked out immediately. Something is not, you know, printers historically are power pigs when they're running, but your light should never, ever flicker. And in fact, I'd be surprised if they're on the same circuit. Something's really weird going on there. So call an electrician immediately.
Yeah.
Immediately. I wouldn't even hesitate.
Yeah, that should not happen. And
no.
One of the things is that with printers now, especially home printers, they shouldn't use that much juice. I, you know, in reality, little inkjet printer.
But laser jets now, when you kick them up, they're kind of power hogs. They've always been, but they don't run very often. You know, they go right to sleep. But when they're processing that optical character recognition and the printing and all that, they can take. But again, your outlets should be on a completely separate line from your lights. You shouldn't see this. Something's wrong.
Yeah, you definitely need to get that checked out. So get a hold of a licensed electrician and have them come and scope that out. And they will want to see that. They will want to see that issue. The first thing I would do while the electrician is coming out, unplug the printer. And don't use that outlet would be my advice.
You know, it almost sounds, Steve, it almost sounds like somebody hacked into a light line for the lights and took it to an outlet. And that's a no-no. That, there's no code in anywhere that says to do that.
Yeah, and once again, that when you buy a home, you have no idea what the do-it-yourselfer was up to. When it comes to plumbing and electrical. But when something like that's going on, once again, you want to get an electrician out and scope that out. Doug, here's a good one on our text line. And by the way, still plenty of time to join the program here on Tech Talk, the StylesFinancial.com talk and text line, 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. Should the Google Chrome browser's default security settings be adjusted, or are the default settings generally adequate? That is a very good question. How much should you tweak that?
I think that you take it slow. If you do over tweaking in any browser, you will kill certain websites. So be careful with this. I think that it's out of the box should be fairly good. And it really depends on what you're using your computer for. Most people should be all right while they're investigating, but I think that every browser on your computer, you should take some time and get into settings. And if you got a little extra time, learn about a little bit this day, a little bit next time, and it really does pay to know what's going on under the hood. There are certain settings that you definitely wouldn't want, but they don't default to that. The developer setting, which really is kind of opening up the door to almost reprogramming Chrome-based browser. I don't think most people will ever need that, but it's I would make absolutely certain that I do mine actually with add-ons, with plugins for the browser. I clear my cache when it closes. I don't worry too much about my history, but cache and cookies, I kind of like take care of them every time I close the browser. Big thing with browsers is just keep them up to date. And if you want an ad blocker, you can add an ad blocker, unless you got Brave, you don't need it, it's built in. Stuff like that, but keep it to a minimum. Don't have any more add-ons than you need. But just reading through some of the add-ons that, say, for example, Mozilla Firefox recommends. It would take you 20 minutes to no more than a half an hour just to read through what they recommend. It would be a tremendous learning procedure for many people. It's going to help. It really is. Check them out for sure. I don't think you have to worry too much.
Yeah.
A big thing with Chrome is it's actually an operating system on top of your operating system. Although it looks like a normal browser, it really isn't. So, you know, just watch that and you'll be good.
Yeah, and Doug, when it comes to making sure browsers are updated, when you open that browser, should it update? What can you do to make sure that it is indeed updated?
Well, your best bet is just in Chrome, there's the three horizontal bars. Just click them, slide to the bottom of that window that opens up to settings, and then right below that window that says settings, there should be an about. And when you hit that about page, it's going to tell you if it's up to date, and it's actually going to check to make sure if there's a newer version available. But every browser that I know of, when you open that browser up, the instant it goes online, it goes and checks for itself if it's up to date. And like Mozilla Firefox and Chrome and Brave, they will automatically update in the background and not even interfere with your working. But I think it's a good idea to check from time to time. Not going to hurt at all. With Linux, they actually check your browsers on when they update as well. And I think Windows still does too, to a point. But it's nowhere near the problem it used to be, thank goodness. But it is important that you open them up at least once a week to make sure that they get that connection. At multiple browsers every day, no less than three. I prefer four. And just keep them up to date, and you will be just fine.
15 minutes now in front of 4. By the way, all the news and weather at 4 will go outdoors with Steve Kearney. And then later in the program, college football final. We're going to take a break. We'll come back more with Doug in a moment. When we come back, printer recommendations. What printers does Doug prefer? We'll get into that. And you can join us on the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line. 651-461-9226. If you call the studio, you'll visit with Josh Wheeler. If you text, that comes right into Doug and me, and we'll get it right on the air. Once again, the number is 651-461-9226. Here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. It is Tech Talk. Doug Swindehart aboard today. A few more minutes left. Still time if you want to text or call. The StylesFinancial.com talk and text line, 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226 is the number. And, Doug, we brought it up before the break, and someone's looking for a recommendation on a printer for home use. Now, I just want to jump in and say one more thing about it. Typically, home printers will print 8.5 by 11 or 8.5 by 14 legal size paper. These people want to be able to print on a little bit larger sheet, or the 11 by 17, and those are available. And there's a lot of good brands. There's a tremendous amount of competition because they want to sell you ink over the long haul.
Yeah, well, that threw a curve to me. That wide format paper, that's not so common in home printing. I'm not sure why they need that, but I would actually be going to HP at that point if they were looking for a normal all-around printer. And generally, I would respond by saying I'm probably not the best guy to ask because I am biased to HP. So I jumped on TechRadar, which gives their true opinion, and tests all kinds of printers. And they came up with a mid-range Epson, an EchoTank ET4850. I don't know if that handles that size of paper, though. I don't think it does. That's an unusual size, and I think you're going to have to go to a larger format printer. You might be looking at a specialized printer for that. I would ask them why they need that. It's interesting that they would require that.
Yeah, typically 8.5 by 11, even smaller card stock on most of your home printers. But 11-17 printing on that size sheet, it is. They are available out there. And you mentioned Epson, you mentioned HP, very good brands. I've had good luck with a Brother printer for many, many years. That I use in a home office. There's a lot. This is generally pretty good equipment. Should be plug and play. Train up pretty easily to your Wi-Fi at home. And then once again, wherever you're doing your computer, you would send, and then the router would send it to the printer. So, you know, just keep that in mind. Ideally, hardwired from maybe a desktop to a printer is the best circumstances all, but most of them are easy to set up on your Wi-Fi.
Yeah, and the flip side of that as well is you could hook it up to Ethernet and have network, and it would be just rock solid stable. I ran a quick search, Steve, and I found out that Epson does 1117, Brother does 1117, HP does, so I misspoke. I think that the way to go is just go out and make sure that you're getting a decent printer. How much you use it is really conservative. You should also investigate the difference between inkjet and laser. Laser is going to be more expensive up front, and it's going to be more expensive to operate throughout its lifetime. But they're crystal clear, they're fast, they're quiet, and it might be the answer for you as well, depending on what you're printing this 1117 paper for. But it looks to me like I probably would put in a vote for either a brother or an Epson in this particular case. That they're just they're banging on HP's door, and I would like to see HP take precedence. They've just done so much for printing over the years that, well, I'm biased. I truly am. I can't help it.
Yeah, and they did follow up, and actually it was not for home use, but for a small business. And I would add that if you do have a small business, this is my opinion. Get together with one of those firms locally that sells and services copiers, printers, etc. Just my advice. Get something that they provide the toner or the ink for it, and they do the preventative maintenance, and they do repairs when you have jams and other problems. You're going to save yourself a lot of heartache. It's another person's business, and I think if you're running a small business, get together with one of those local firms that provides copiers and printers, and that's what they do. I think you're going to be very happy with the results and be able to lease and get the maintenance and supplies all in one low lease payment. I think it's the way to go.
I could not agree more. I can't begin to tell you the number of times that I've gone into a business and switched them out of ownership for a printer to a lease just for that purpose.
Yep.
And these guys do good work.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, and that's what they do all day. And I think over the long haul, that's my recommendation. All right, Doug, we got to run. We don't want to forget about getting your email and phone number out there.
Oh, thank you. 651-552-9543 and admin@wccotech.com. ADMIN at wccotech.com. 651-552-9543. And thank you, Steve, and have a great weekend.
Yeah, have a great weekend and a good
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good week. We'll do it again next Saturday at 3. It's Tech Talk here on the CCO.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.